Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. It's always delightful. But there's nothing, the Word of God is so fruitful and so effectual and so powerful, so enlightening and so encouraging and so comforting, and produces such joy and peace. And I just delight. Two things that I enjoy in this world more than anything else is I enjoy the gospel, hearing the gospel preached. I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it at all. But to hear somebody preach the gospel and to have fellowship with the Lord's people, those are the two most precious things and most enjoyable things in this world. And then when we get done with this world, that's going to be all we're going to do. Huh? It's going to be all we're going to do. Dave, that's good song leading. That's good song leading. Thank you, buddy. Very good. Appreciate it. All right, Malachi 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 13, read down to verse 17. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, useless, empty, nothing to it. And profit is it? We don't get anything out of it that we've kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now, here's what we do. We call the proud, those that's proud, call them happy. Yea, they that work wickedness, they're set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. But then look what He said. Now that's what God says about some people. And pretty much everybody that don't know God, don't know Christ, that God don't open the heart to the gospel. Then they that feared the Lord, don't speak against Him. Don't say it's vain to serve Him. Don't say we walk mournfully before Him. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son. The Bible tells us plainly that the beginning of fear, or the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. Said it's just the beginning of it. It's not the end of it, but it's the beginning of it. So when a man begins to fear the Lord, he's just starting to have some understanding of what's going on. And fear is a good thing. Fear is a good thing. It keeps people from getting hurt. As you get older, you know, you don't do as near the things and take near as many chances you did when you was young. You know, I ain't going to get up on no 25-foot ladder anymore. And you know, you tell your children, don't touch that, that's hot. I told you it's hot. And that's what it does. It causes parents to teach and to protect their children. And fear keeps people out of danger, keeps them out of a danger. And then there's a positive fear and a negative fear, two sides to fear. And the other side is that fear is a blessed thing. It's a bad thing. It can be so unreasonable. You know, Spurgeon had a little old article that says, you know, homemade troubles. He said, people sit around and make their troubles over their own mind. They start thinking about this could happen, that could happen, another thing could happen. And they make their own troubles just by worrying about things and anticipating things. And fear can be a bad thing. It can be unreasonable. People can be paranoid. And John said this, fear hath torment. Torment. Job said this, that which I feared the most came upon me. That which I feared the most. You know, fear can be crippling. It can become a phobia. Keep people from doing lots and lots of things. But here he says the fear of God. They that fear the Lord. This is a fear that's such a blessed thing, such a glorious thing, such a precious thing that only God can put in a man's heart. And you know, when a man begins to fear the Lord, once he starts, he'll never stop. He'll never stop. Now, in these verses 16 and 17, I want to deal with the Lord's people, this blessed, blessed fear I'm talking about. And there's three things about the Lord's people here in verse 16 I want you to look at. It says, then they that feared the Lord. And these three things about the Lord's people. When it says they feared the Lord, that's the same word as reverence. Reverence. Holding in high reverence. The highest possible regard you can. And they that feared the Lord. Feared God. I mean, feared Him in this way. That they was not afraid of Him punishing them. Not afraid of eventual retribution from Him. But it's a fear, it's a reverence that we have for them that motivates us, causes us to want to honor Him, glorify Him, magnify Him, and address Him as He is. The way Wayne prayed tonight. He began to praise God and bless God for who He is. And I tell you what, we want to honor Him. And I tell you, we're no longer afraid of His presence. Now Adam, when Adam sinned in the garden, the first thing he did is he went and hid. He had been walking with God in the cool of the day. And the God that he walked with, there's only one God that we'll ever see and ever know anything about. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and walked with Him in the cool of the day. And Adam, when he fell, He put on a fig leaf, him and his wife, and they went over and hid in some bushes. They said, God won't find us here. He didn't want to be in the presence of the Lord anymore. And God went to him and sought him out. God went to him and made him admit that I'm naked. God made him admit that I fail. God made him admit his sin. God brought him to the place where he said, oh, I'm ashamed. He never knew what shame was before. And here he was, that he hid from God. And now, beloved, we want to be in the presence of God, and we want God's presence with us. I pray every service, Lord, come among us. Come down among us. Come down and present yourself. Come down among us. And oh, the fear of God, I tell you something, it influences our attitude and our disposition in all circumstances. You know, when you're in a situation and circumstances don't seem to be, they seem to be hard and you're between a rock and a hard place, you know, instead of getting aggravated with God and getting wondering why God put me in this situation, you know what it does? It changes your disposition. It changes your attitude toward God. You're not going to complain. Say, Lord, thank you. I know you'll get me out of this. Huh? We trust God. He read that tonight. Lord, they that wait on the Lord, I say, wait on the Lord. And that's what the fear of God calls us to do. We'll wait on Him. We'll wait on Him. Tell you something else about this thing, about the fear of God. It calls us to reverence Him. And it also affects our worship. It affects our worship. Now, I tell you what, you go to a lot of places and all they're doing is making a bunch of noise. It's like Moses when he come down off the mountain. He heard a whole bunch of noise down there at the bottom of the mountain. Coming down with the law. Coming down with God's written law on the tables of stone. And I tell you what, those folks was having a party. Made him a god out of a gold calf. And they said, this is the God that brought us up out of Egypt. And they got, some of them even got naked and started dancing around that thing. And night come down, Mo said, I hear something like war. No, God said, they're partying. He got down there and he looked at that bunch and them rocks busted. You know why it busted? Because every single one of them, no sense presented them a law that they broke before God even made Himself known to them. And I tell you what, it affects our worship of God. You know, we worship God in reverence. We sit here and we listen to the gospel. And we listen to it in reverence and godly fear. Lord, speak to me. And that's what Paul said, in Hebrews 12:28, he said, since we have a continuing city, a city that cannot be moved, may we have reverence and godly fear to worship God. And I tell you, with reverence and godly fear, we don't meet to see who's the most spiritual. I've been in times in service of folks tried to outdo one another. Who's the most spiritual? Give testimony which was the most sinful. Give testimony who was the worst, who was the baddest. And we don't meet to see who's the most spiritual. We don't meet to see who can make the most noise. We don't meet to let folks talk about anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God's name, it affects our worship. The fear of God affects our worship. Our worship. And then look what else it said here in this verse. They were a thoughtful people. Look what it says down there in the last line of that particular verse 16. And they that thought upon His name. They were a thoughtful people. They thought on His name. They that think upon His name. What in this world does it mean to think upon His name? Well, when you talk about somebody's name, it has something to do with His character, has something to do with His nature. And when the Lord, you think of His name, in fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, they said His name shall be called Wonderful. That's the first thing they said about His name shall be called Wonderful. And then the night He was born, before He was born, the angel came and told Mary, said, you know what, you're going to name this boy. I'm going to tell you what you're going to name him. You're going to name him Jesus. Why? Because He is going to save His people from their sins. And he said, and Peter stood up and said, let me tell you something. There's only one name under heaven. One name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not want to be saved. Not will to be saved. Not seeking to be saved, but saved. We will be, must be saved. And then God gave him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. And every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know why they're going to do that? To the glory of God the Father. Huh? Oh my. They thought upon His name. Now, you keep Malachi, and turn with me over to Exodus 33. You know, God's name is precious, so precious. His name, and people take His name, one of the commandments is never take My name in vain. Don't take My name in vain, but look in Exodus 33. You know, His name is His character. His name is precious. And look what He said here. Moses, in verse 17, the Lord told Moses, He says, you have found grace in My sight, and I know thee by name. Now, here we are. We believe that God knows us by name. You know, He gave us a name. He calls us. He knows our name. And we found grace in His sight. And then Moses turned around after that. God told him that, and he said, Lord, and this is what we want to do too. After God saved us and God showed us His grace, show me now Your glory. I want to see Your glory. I want to see Your glory. I found grace in Your eyes. You know me, but oh Lord, there's just war. I want to see Your glory. I want to see how glorious You are. How high You are. How uplifted You are. I want to know something about You and Your power and Your glory and Your might. I want to know. And then look what He said. And God said this. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do for you, Moses. And this is the first thing He said. I'll make all My goodness pass before you. Oh. There's not a person on the face of this earth. Now you just tell me. I'll stake my own soul on this. There's not a person on this earth that God hasn't been good to. But you know there's only one people that's interested in seeing His glory. And the first thing He said comes by, said, I'll cause all my goodness. And how good He was to us. He's passed by us in goodness. Passed by us in goodness when He sent His Son. Passed by us in goodness when He saved us by grace. Passed by us in goodness when we fall. Passed by us in goodness in His patience and mercy and long-suffering. Passes us by in goodness. Oh, how good is God. And then He goes on to say, and He said, and I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. That's what, if God proclaims His own name, how much more should we proclaim His name? Huh? And here He said, this is what I'm going to do. This is my name. This is my goodness. This is the name that I want to be known by. I'll be gracious. I want you to understand that I'm God. And I don't have to do a thing in this world but what I will to do. And He said, we'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I'll show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. And He said, that's my glory. That's my glory. You have fought. Listen, I love that. Old Maurice Montgomery, you know, he used to hit the big old tall Kentucky boy. And he'd get up and he'd preach. And that's what he'd say, you know, he'd say, oh my, he says, since the Lord will have mercy, I tell you what I'd do if you all, I believe I'd line up right through here and I'd line up and I'd say, Lord, since You're the only one's got mercy, you reckon You'd give me some of it? Line up to get it, because He's got it. Line up to get it. And so His name, you know, in the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are saved. And then His name is powerful. Oh my, His name has got all the power in the universe vested in that blessed name. You know, when we plead His name, we come to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead His character in calling upon Him. Our Lord Jesus says this. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in what? My name. My name. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come down. And that's what we was. We was today over in the study. Three or four of us. God come down and met with us. The Lord's met with just me and my wife. And there's two of us. But that's all He said. We're two or three. I never will forget. I'm going to tell you all. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to stop preaching and tell you a story. We was in Mexico one time. We were down in Chiapas. And Milton Howard was still down there. And we was going out to this little village. I mean, it was just, it wasn't even a pueblo. A pueblo was a pretty good-sized little place. But we went out in this village, and then we drove way up this road through all up in this little village, you know, five or six, seven houses up in there. And we went in this one house. There's a man, a woman, and a boy. That's all that was in that house. And they had little old wooden chairs, you know, little bitty wooden chairs. And the man, the woman, and the husband sitting right here on this couch. Well, we sat down in those wooden chairs, and Henry Mahan got his Bible, and he went over to 2 Peter and went to, you know, teaching. He looked at that man right in the eye, and he preached to that one man. And preach just like he'd preach right here in this service tonight. What does it take to preach the gospel? One. Huh? One. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. I'll never forget that. He sat down with a Bible and preached to one man. And preached just like he'd preach here. Expounded the scriptures. I was blessed by it. But that's what he said. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together. And there's Henry, me, and that man, and Milton Howard. And God met with us that afternoon. Oh, hot, hot day. But oh, I tell you what. And when we describe God, talking about the Lord and His name, they that thought upon His name, if I asked you to describe God, how would you describe Him? Oh, that's the first thing, yeah. Holy. Holy. That's what God said about Himself. That's what the seraphims and the cherubims and the four beasts and the 24 elders, that's what they said. Holy, holy, holy. That's the first thing you'll learn about God. He's holy. Infinitely holy. And the second thing you'll learn about Him is that He's just. He's a just God. But here's the thing about it. He's a just God and a Savior. How can He be a just God and a Savior at the same time? How can He do that? Well, you know, I'll tell you how He done it. And that's another thing about describing Him in wisdom. Wisdom, God in His wisdom, eternal wisdom, said, listen, the soul that sinned, I'm going to give you a people, and they're going to be as lost and as dead and as corrupt as anybody on this earth. But He said, I know a way. When justice said, I cannot, no way in the world clear them people. Truth said, yes, I can't let them go. God wisdom stood up and said, I know a way to do it. Said, I tell you, I'll send my son. And then Christ stands up and said, I'll go. I'll go. He said, I'll give them to you. Will you go down there and become their surety, become responsible for them, for their debt, for their sin, for their shame, for their guilt? Will you go down there and do that for them? And the angel stood back, I believe, in wonderment and awe. Said, oh, no, surely not. He said, well, how in the world can He go? He's eternal. I tell you what, there's a woman. And I'll come down in the Holy Ghost. And I'll hover over that woman, and I'll, God Himself will be conceived in that woman's womb. And you'll call Him the Son of the Highest. You'll call Him God manifest in the flesh. And our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, bless His name. He was the image of the invisible God. He is the brightness of God's glory. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He done that, and by Himself He purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of God, having accomplished what He did. Huh? And I mean, He didn't make an effort. He didn't need no help from nobody. Even His own Father never helped Him. And I love those three words. Three words that I tell you what, I've never got over yet. It is finished. I never get finished. I never get finished. You know, I get done with that and I got to go over here and do this. I get done with this here and then I got to start all over again doing that. But when Christ said it's finished, it was finished. Huh? Oh my. What was finished? Salvation was. God was honored. Law was magnified. Justice was satisfied. Truth was upheld. And sinners were saved by the grace of God. Oh my, how do you describe God? Like God describes Himself. How does God describe Himself? Almighty. I am that I am. I'll describe myself as a just God. Describe myself as a righteous God. I call myself holy. I call myself good. I call myself gracious. I call myself all wisdom. Call myself eternal. Call myself Savior. He inhabits eternity. He calls Himself by names. He said, and I've got to give my glory to nobody else. Oh my. And then let me ask you this. If I ask you to describe the Lord Jesus Christ, would you automatically think of some person, a physical person to look at? Like you have on these calendars and have in some of these Bibles, you know? Was that the way, when I asked you to describe Christ, when think of Christ and what He looks like, I don't believe any of you here would start looking for this blonde-headed, blue-eyed fellow. I don't believe any of you do that. When you think of Christ, you think of a character. You think of how precious He is, how glorious He is, how gracious He is, how compassionate He is, how tender He is, how kind He is. You know, and these two blind men come to him and they said, Lord, we want to receive our sight. He said, you believe I'm able to do this? Oh, Lord, we believe you're able. Well, go on then. So when we describe Christ, we describe a personality. A person that has a personality. You know, and we hug up to him. We embrace. How can you embrace somebody without them being there? But we embrace Christ. How can we bow to somebody that we can't see, but we bow to Christ? How do we kiss somebody with the kisses of our mouth that you can't do, but we kiss him with the kisses of our mouth? Oh, I'll tell you something. God does what he does for his own name's sake. And then they had a testimony. Look back over here in Malachi. Look what it says. Not only did they fear the Lord that thought upon his name, but back up there in the beginning of the verse, they that feared the Lord also spake often one to another. What did they speak to one another about? What do we talk about? What do we talk about with one another? Huh? What do we talk about today with one another? What do we talk about when we're on the phone with one another? Huh? We talk about Christ. We talk about the gospel. All the preachers I talk to, we always talk about preaching. Always talk about outlines and things, you know, we learn from one another. They speak often to one another. Oh, my. And that's what we do. We speak often to one another. And I tell you what, and you know, there's not anything we can say better than what we talk about Christ and what he's done. All of us, you know, Norm asked me today, he said, you know, how did you learn the gospel? When did you come to the gospel? You know, that's what we want to do. You know, how did God bring you to the earth? How did God bring you to the gospel? How did God bring you? How did God do something for you? When did it start for you? And that's what we do. And you read Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and that's the first thing they start doing. They start walking together, telling, well, the Lord done this for me, and the Lord done that for me. Did he do it for you? They start, and that's what we do. How in the world did you get brought to the gospel? How did you get brought to Christ? How did you learn the grace of God? How'd that happen? Huh? They speak often one to another. Huh? Somebody had to tell me. And then let me give you three things about the Lord. What three things about us? They feared the Lord. They thought upon his name. And they spake often to one to another. They testified about Christ. And then three things to the Lord. Now look back over here in this verse 16 again. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And listen to this now. And the Lord hearkened. The Lord hearkened. And heard. The Lord hearkened and heard what they're talking about. The Lord's listening. The Lord's listening. He listens to his people. He listens to his people. Huh? Oh, look with me in Psalm 116. Let's look at this together. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Look what it says here. Oh. He listens to his people. The Lord hearkened and heard. What did he hear? What did he hear? Speaking often one to another. And he said this, I love the Lord. And he said, why? Because he hath heard my voice. He's heard my supplication. Listen to this. Then he inclined his ear. Inclined his ear. He inclined his ear unto me. You know, have you all ever seen anybody that's hard of hearing before they ever had a hearing aid or something? They stick their hand behind their ear and do like that, you know, try to hear good. That's what God said he does. He said, I'll cut my ear to listen to what you got to say. I'll cut my ear. I'm interested in what you're saying. I want to hear what you got to say. I hear you groaning down there. I hear you groaning. I hear you crying. I hear your fears. I hear your anxieties. I hear your breaking heart. I hear. I hear everything that's going on. I hear you. And oh, this is what it says. Since He does me that way, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call on Him as long as I live. I'm going to call Him. Call Him as long as I live. Oh my. He heard. And I tell you something. You know what the first thing He hears about from us? Is what we say about Himself. What do we say about Him? What do we have to say about Him? Oh my. Oh Lord. You're the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Oh Lord, You've got all the power. You got all the glory. You got all the right. You're the judge of all the earth. You're always going to do what's right. Oh, He hears what we say about Him. Oh my, and I'll tell you something. We can never, ever, ever, ever say from our hearts what's in our hearts to say. It just never comes out that way. It just doesn't do it. And then I tell you, not only does He hear what we say about Him, but He hears what we say about each other. Do you know that? He pays attention to what we say about each other. He's interested in our words. You know, let me show you that. Look over here in Matthew 12 with me. Matthew 12. This is one of the things about justification. Matthew 12. You know, He's interested in our words. And what we say about one another, what we say about Him, what we say about one another. And look what our Lord said here in verse 34, Matthew 12, 34. He said, "Oh, generation of vipers." You know, these people say, well, we take up snakes and they want to. You know, the worst vipers that there are is human beings. Snakes, they'll bite you. They'll devour you. They'll spread poison about you. They spread poison about God. Every time they open their mouth, poison's coming out. Poison about God. Poison about Christ. Poison about salvation. When you preach anything besides free grace, sovereign grace, salvation in Christ alone, it's a viper. It's a viper. And it'll kill you. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. And then look what He says. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. And a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart, he brings forth evil things. Now listen to what he talks about, what these fellows say and what comes out of their mouth, what comes out of their heart. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, you know, people think, well, that means us standing around talking about the weather, you know, and fishing or hunting or something like that. They say, that's just idle talk. You know, we need to be talking about something serious. That's not what He's talking about there. You know, when a man's up preaching free will, that's idle words. You know, this is a spiritual book and it has spiritual applications to it. Ain't it? Idle words. And then look what He says next now. And He says down there in verse 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now, what in the world is He talking about? He already told these fellows that only evil things they can talk about. And all we can talk about, what words do we say about God? What words do we say about Christ? What words do we say about grace? What words do we say about salvation? What words do we say about sin? You know, what words do we say? What words do we use? And what do those words mean? And that's what He said. And I don't want to get up here and use idle words about God, about Christ. Oh, and that's what He says. By your words, you're going to be justified. God listens to words. Words. And then let me go back over here in Malachi. Look what it says now. He hears what we have to say, and He listens to what we have to say. By our words. Then look what else He said. And He said, they that the Lord hearkened and heard it, and listen to this. And then he remembers. He remembers. What did he do? He wrote down a book of remembrance. You know, God uses language to enable us to understand. But he uses that word book a lot. He had a book of life in Exodus. And then Paul said, you know about the Philippians, those names who are written in the book of life. And named off some people whose names were written in the book of life. But I'll tell you something. A book of life, that's a book. Oh my. A book of remembrance. Look over here in Psalm 56 with me. You know, I've barely been preaching over 30 minutes here, so I got a little bit of time. But look here in Psalm 56. I think that's what I want to look at. Psalm 56 and 8. Oh, he's talking about God remembering, you know, writing a book of remembrance. And it was written before him. It was written before him. And look what he says here about what God does about us. He's just talking about his book. He says, thou tellest my wanderings. And what that means is that he don't tell us where we're going to wander, but he tells us. You know, he keeps track of our wanderings. And listen to this. Put thou my tears into thy bottle, and are they not written in thy book? My tears are written in your book. Huh? Written in your book. Let me tell you some things that's not written in his book. Sin's not written in it. God said there's sins and iniquities. Well, I said, I ain't going to remember them ever no more. He won't remember that. He ain't going to remember our guilt. He ain't going to remember our shame. Oh, no, he don't do that. But he remembers. He remembers. He remembers us in time after having chosen us in eternity. He said, I'm going to bring a message one of these services, the time of love. He said, when I passed by you, what was it? It was the time of love. And all he remembers us, he chose us in eternity. And in time, he said, I remember, it's time. I remember it's time to go get them. It's time to go after them. It's time to get across their path. You know, my father-in-law never got converted. He's 75 years old. 75 years old. Huh? That's something, ain't it? 75 years old, and he attended service for over 20-something years. And he loved Scott Richardson. Oh, my goodness, Henry Mann. He loved them fellas and just bragged them and just loved them and loved to have them in their home. Him, Milton Harrod, sit and play the guitar together and sang. And one day, he stood up and he said, Donnie! I said, what? He said, I heard the voice today. My sheep hear my voice. I know them! If they go to hear, he says what he said. I said, I heard that voice today. I heard that voice today. And I tell you what, he was as faithful and as gracious and as kind and loving. It changed him dramatically. Changed him dramatically. And oh my. And I tell you something. Here's what most people believe. That he gets out his book, and when we believe, he writes our name down. And then when we mess up, he scribbles it out. And then when we get straightened out again, he writes it back in. No, he said, it's the Lamb's book of life, whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life, slain before the foundation of the world. My name, you know why God crossed my path? Because he had my name in that book. Huh? When I believed, he never put my name in that book. When he gave me faith, he never wrote my name in that book. I have faith, and I was brought to Christ and given grace because my name was in that book to start with. And I didn't find out it was in that until God saved me and I learned the gospel. I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that stuff. Did you? Somebody had to tell you. That's why I said they spake often one to another. Oh, my. Oh, he, and I'll tell you something else he's not going to do. He's not going to get out his book on the day of judgment and start saying, you done good, you done bad. You done good, you done bad. And, you know, he's not going to do it like that. No, no. All the deeds that we've done, oh, my, he just, no, it's going to be about him, about him. And I'm going, you know, I'm going to talk about in the book. You got to see this in Psalm 139. I hope I ain't wearing you out looking at these scriptures. I hope Psalm 139. If I can get there myself. Psalm 139. And look down in verse 16. Look what he says. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, everything about me, which were in continuance and were fashioned when I didn't even have a member, didn't even exist, when there was none of them yet. He said, I put everything about you in this book. And you didn't even exist yet. You hadn't even been fashioned in your mother's womb. There wasn't nothing to you yet. And then he thought, and then he said this, oh, how precious also thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more than I can number, than the sand. And when I'm awake, I'm still with you. Oh, my. Thank God he's got a book. And he put us all in that book before we ever was. And I tell you what, God ain't going to do away with his book when we get into eternity. Only people that's going to be there is the people who got their name in that book. But you know, when he opens the books to judge you, this is the book he's going to do it. And I'm going to take just another minute and tell you something we was talking about today. And I believe this, you know, and I'm going to quit preaching and give you my opinion. How long do you think the judgment's going to take for the goats and the sheep to be separated? How long do you think the judgment's going to take? You think God's going to bring everybody up him and put up this great big screen and he's going to, over here is all you fellas that's lost, over here is all you. All you fellas that's saved, over here is all you. No, no. You know how long it'll take him that quick. In fact, I'm going to, like Norm said today, judgment's already set. Judgment's already set. I've already been judged. Already borne the wrath of God. Judgment. It ain't going to take God. It don't take him long to do anything, you know. Ain't you glad he's that way? Huh? Oh, my. And then let me show you that. And then he's not only is he have a book of remembrance, and he listens to what we have to say. He hearkens unto us. Then look how faithful he is in verse 17. And they shall be mine. Listen to this. Saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. We talk about people all the time and said, boy, they a real jewel. They're a real jewel. And they shall be mine. When I make up my jewels. He said, all that the Father gives me, what are they going to do? He said, they're going to come to me. Why are they going to come to me? Because my Father gave them to me. Oh, my. And that the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are His. Knows them that are His. You know, and He says, they shall be mine. They're mine to choose. They're mine to love. They're mine to keep. They're mine to be responsible for. They're mine to feed. They're mine to teach. They're mine to lead beside the still water. They're mine to lead. They're mine to glorify. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me that where I am, where I am, that they may behold my glory, which I had with you before the world was." You reckon that will's going to be done? And that song this girl sung over here tonight, "He Included Me." There's a lady in our congregation. Her name's Ruby. And I tell you why, she was this. Every member I have of her is so precious. Oh, so precious. And she was laying just a couple of days before she died. And that was, she sang. She had this beautiful voice. And then her voice got weaker and weaker. And went to visit her. And she started singing that song, "He Included Me." She sang that song. And we had to bend down because she just barely whispered, "Thank God." She just whispering, but she was singing it. We got down and listened to her sing. That's the last thing she sang. Then she went home to be with the Lord. "Thank God He Included Me." Oh, she'd leave the service and she'd say, "Brother Donnie, preach that again tonight. Just exactly what you did this morning." Said, "That'll work again tonight." She'd tell me, "Just say it over again. Just do it again. Do it again." And she'd, oh, and that's what he said. "When I make up my special treasure, my jewels," and then the margin says, "my special treasure. You're my treasure." Can you imagine God saying, "You're my treasure"? Huh? We can't get our head around. We think we're like everybody else. We think we ain't nothing. We ain't got nothing. And then the Lord says, "But you're my treasure. You're my jewels. You're my diamonds. You're my rubies. You're my emeralds. You're my gold. You're my jewels." And then look what he said, and I'm done. "And I'll spare them. I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him." God did not spare His Son so He could spare us. Huh? So He could spare us. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Oh, hideth my soul in the depths of His love, and hideth my life in the cleft of the rock. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. I love Him. I need Him. I need Him and I want Him. I need Him and I want Him.